And welcome to Dakota Midday here on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. And joining us now are the Dakota Political Junkies, Kevin Wooster of the Kello TV Rapid City Bureau. Kevin, thanks for being with us today.
Great to be here, Kara.
And the Madison Daily Leader publisher, John Hunter, is also on the program today. John, thanks for being with us.
I thought Kevin changed his voice to a dial tone, but apparently he's back.
It's the Rounds campaign. They're trying to, Mitch Krebs is trying to make sure I don't tell the truth about Obama.
Well, since you brought it up, let's start there with the debate. What are your reactions to the debate last week?
Well, I think that's an interesting issue, that the idea that they're trying to, Stace Nelson in particular, trying to tie Rounds to a bipartisan committee that he was involved in for a few years out in D.C., that also the governor's side of it had one sort of subcommittee, and former Senator Daschle was on another subcommittee sort of with this bipartisan policy center out there, and that they're trying to make that seem like former Governor Rounds is actually promoting Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act, whatever you want to call it. And that's obviously something that that Rounds is rejecting, that he was on that to try and limit the impacts on states, as other governors were. And it's one of those wonderful campaign points where there's a point of departure from what we all know is the fact in the middle, and then it goes one way or the other depending on what side of the campaign you're on.
And how do you know what to believe?
Well, it's difficult. I think what I would tell you is what I always say about Mike Rounds. Whatever he's trying to be in this primary, which is ultra-conservative, frankly, he's not. And the truth is that he's a guy that is certainly has some conservative principles, but he's also willing to go to the table and discuss things with people. And even if those people are Democrats, even if they're, I believe, you know, he even sat down during that period of time with Obama and argued for state policies and things like that. And whether that was him doing damage control for the state or him buying into the Obamacare plan is certainly open to debate. But my thought was, the things I remember about Rounds was from the very start, he was concerned about the Affordable Care Act and the impacts on the insurance industry, which is his industry, and that he did not support it. But he did get involved with a group that included former Senator Daschle, who's a big promoter of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And while I don't think they worked together on the same committee, they certainly saw each other from time to time out there, and it was all a plan designed to maybe make a transition smoother. And obviously the transition wasn't all that smooth anyway.
And John Hunter, your reactions to the debate last week?
Well, I think also that the attacks are going to be on Mike Rounds for a couple of reasons. One, he's leading in the polls, and so that's a natural place for people to attack. But secondly, it's almost like he's an incumbent, even though he's mm-hmm. not been in that seat, but having a kind of a defined record as governor. Now, Stace Nelson and Larry Roden both have records as state legislators, and those could be brought up. But somehow that always seems like a little bit of nitpicking, or at least going down the line, said, okay, you voted for this, or, you know, and they might say, well, that was part of a package, or there were other issues with that and so forth. But a governor's record seems to be pretty well out in the open, and even if the legislature passes something and the governor signs it, it always seems to kind of land on the governor. So I would expect that, and they would always attack Mike in this sense. And also with the Affordable Care Act, that is the one thing that very conservative Republicans are most adamant about. So why not use that as an attack point to separate themselves?
And he was also, I mean, he was attacked on so many issues, including EB-5.
Oh, yeah.
Well, EB-5.
Kevin. EB-5 is certainly an issue that I continue to wait for somebody to exploit more effectively. And I don't know if there is a point that can be exploited, because so far Rounds has managed to keep some distance from that, and maybe that's because he was disconnected from that to the extent that he says he was. Nobody that I've seen so far in the campaign has been able to tighten that connection at all. And so right now what we have is kind of unfounded allegations about what he did and what he didn't do, and I haven't seen anybody prove that he was closer to the scandal than he says he was.
How did Governor Rounds, in your opinion, react and respond to all of the attacks? Did he defend himself well, or could he have done better?
Well, I think he was pretty calm. And, you know, he's been attacked and not attacked, maybe it's not the right word, but challenged in a lot of these issues a number of times. So I don't think it's anything particularly new to him. So, and he's a longtime politician. I mean, he's not only the governor's, but we kind of forget that he was majority leader in the Senate and, I believe, a five-term legislator. So I don't think he gets frazzled under these kind of circumstances.
He's a hard guy to rile up enough so that he shows it publicly, because I certainly tried a lot. And there were times when he was very unhappy with me about some of the reporting I did, but he typically manages to not show that very much. I thought you could tell that he was getting a little irritated in that debate, and he may be getting tired of having his integrity challenged, and you could see him strike back a little bit, maybe more, between now and the primary, because he's been getting roughed up pretty good, not necessarily in any effective way, but in kind of a personal way sometimes.
What do you think we're going to see in this race in the next week or so before the primary?
I don't think you'll see all that much. I mean, a public debate like SDPB had was probably as broad an audience as any of the candidates will get. So unless there's something that is new, maybe about the EB-5 investigation, and again, I'm like Kevin, that you're kind of waiting for something to come out, but nothing ever seems to go with it. It wouldn't surprise me if in the general election, there would be something, but I don't think I would expect much in the next a little less than 2 weeks.
And polls are showing what?
Well, polls are showing kind of what you'd expect. Mike Rounds with a very substantial lead, and I haven't seen anything that indicates that lead has diminished very much. I mean, he's the guy with the money. He's got the name ID. He's the guy that ran a very popular two terms in the chief executive's office, according to polling done then, and you know, he's the guy that knows how to win statewide races, and he has the support of the Republican machine in South Dakota. I certainly don't see any surprises between now and June 3rd.
News came out yesterday of Clayton Walker ejected from the ballot. Anybody want that one?
Well, I know John's very disappointed about that.
What? Newspapers love this kind of stuff, right? I mean, you get a little bit of a wild card, and I don't know Clayton at all, so I shouldn't say anything. But he is, you know, trying this. And again, you have Jeff Bridges and other celebrities on your nominating petitions, and it's kind
who's
of
to say they weren't in the state. Come on, you know.
Quickly registered to vote, then signed the petition, then unregistered and went back to Hollywood. So I don't know. It's mildly entertaining, I guess, but I don't think it was going to be too serious, even if they were accepted.
Yeah, I would say mildly entertaining is the best that Clayton can hope for at this point.
Gives us something to do, doesn't it? Yeah.
And it's an interesting issue, and you know, one of the things that these things do is they give us a look at our process a little bit and how it works, because somebody. You know, he's challenged by, I think, Mary Perpich up in Brookings County, the Democratic Party chair up there. And, you know, I just love that part of it, that people get involved and they scrutinize these petitions and then they challenge to the Secretary of State's office. And we watch how this process of review works. And at one point, the Attorney General's office was in it. So, I mean, that's what I think is good about these kind of candidates getting involved, is it raises issues, and they sometimes themselves raise issues that maybe, you know, in a more predictable campaign with more traditional candidates don't get raised very much.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on to the Department of Ag granting the Black Hills National Forest some additional tools for fighting pine beetles.
Well, that's always big news out here, and it's news that, of course, Representative Noem and Senator Thune are scrambling to take credit for. That's their job, of course, and I'm sure Senator Johnson will try to catch up if he can, but he hasn't really been out front on this as much as they have, and I think it's an issue of forest management, of course, and it's an issue of politics, because it's about environmental, and this is a long issue that goes back many years in terms of how much do you do to try and control the pine beetles, and how do you work through the federal bureaucracy, and how do you pay for it. And, you know, when you've got a pest that's affected more than 450,000 acres of a 1.2 million acre Black Hills National Forest, it's a pretty substantial thing, and anybody that drives through the forest sees it. So this is the language in the Farm Bill that would direct more treatment options to this forest specifically, according to a decision by the Forest Service yesterday. And it is something that both, you know, our delegation has certainly worked on, and it presumably will mean more work to remove more trees and to manage the forest in a way that we can control that outbreak, which anybody that visits the hills can see mm-hmm. the impacts of.
Well, one thing that Senator Johnson is coming out ahead on is the VA hospital trying to slow down moving services from Hot Springs to Rapid City. John Hunter, you want to take that one?
Well, there, you know, a couple things of the VA in mind, and this, it's a little complicated in Hot Springs, and Kevin knows that better than I do, but where it actually the delay is for this environmental impact thing, which is not exactly the central focus of this, but that's, you can see, again, you get a look into procedures and how these things go through, and then the public pressure that legislator or members of Congress can bring to a secretary level or a deputy secretary, and it just shows a lot of the process rather than, you know, if this were a company, you'd have a CEO who would make a decision or maybe be challenged by the board or something, but in politics, these they always get confused, and you'll find a roadblock here, and opponents will use the roadblock probably effectively, and the supporters will try to get past that roadblock onto something else.
Yeah, this is a really complicated issue out here because of the, you know, we had the VA announcement a couple of years ago that they had this alternative that they were presumably going to proceed with, which was to close most of the old facilities, old beautiful facilities down in Hot Springs up on the hill there, and move towards consolidation of some of those here in Rapid City where there are more veterans located, obviously, and to leave a clinic open out there. But that's been very controversial, and the members of the delegation have gotten involved in that because it's, you know, it's hard to talk about booting the VA out of a facility that at least some of the vets really believe is a great place for it. And then you tie in this whole national question of delays in mm-hmm. VA treatment for veterans that may have hurt their health and in some cases maybe even cost them their lives. And I haven't seen any indication that kind of issue has existed here in the hills, although some people argue that as they were draining resources out of the VA and Hot Springs, it did hurt health care down there. But mostly the veterans I talk to out here, and some of them I know quite closely, are very complimentary of the health care they've received. So mm-hmm. if that's there at this level, we haven't found it yet, which doesn't mean there isn't something there we're missing.
And I know the Sioux Falls VA is holding a public meeting with some stakeholders next week on the 29th. To talk about care and to come out in front of it and let everybody know how it works in Sioux Falls. So,
yeah,
I think
that's
a great idea, Kara, actually, by doing that and getting out in front of it. And then transparency is always good. There was an audit, I believe, last week or so that actually complimented the VA in Sioux Falls. The congressional delegation came out and kind of implied, we have not heard of anything for the Sioux Falls, and I haven't either. So, I think it's important to get out there quickly and the stakeholders are not just it's not a press conference.
Right.
It's all sorts of people who are affected, families and veterans themselves, and you know, taxpayer groups and so forth. So I think it's a good idea that they're being as transparent as they can in a very serious issue.
National issue. It's more of a national story than a local story on
Apparently.
That part of it, right?
Phoenix.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where you hear things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as you point out, Kara, the situation with Senator Johnson with his appropriations positions with funding for these, you know, for the VA and things, it puts him in a position to exert a little more influence on how this works out. So, you know, we would expect to be hearing more from him throughout this process.